turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 3, please. Ezekiel chapter 3. You know, the Cherokee Indians had a tradition. Before a young man became a brave, he had one final test. He would be taken in the woods, blindfolded, of course, and sat down, and there he would have to stay the whole night by himself. Now, can you imagine in the woods? Not so much, they didn't put them in the woods that they were familiar with, but they would put them in the woods that they were not familiar with, and there all night long, all the sounds, the ruffling of the leaves and the trees and the wind blowing, and your imagination goes wild. What you may think is may be around you or may be approaching you, it's just in a vivid imagination as far as the possibilities go. But that was their final test. But you didn't know what, when the sun came up in the morning and that young man was able to take off that blindfold, he took it off, he looked around, and you know what he saw? He saw his father just a couple yards away. His father had been there all the time, watching over him. He was the boy's watchman. Now, this evening, I want to talk to you about the watchman. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. If you find that, please stand for the reading of God's word. Ezekiel 3, verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way. To save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, I lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die because thou hast given him warning. He shall die in his sins, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for Mother's Day and all the mothers. Father, thank you so much for them and all that they do. Father, and all that they give. They give everything so that we all can have a good life, a pleasant life. They sacrifice a lot. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ, who ultimately sacrificed it all on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Father, we thank you. Help us never forget what you've done. Father, bless, guide, and direct. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you allow me, I'm going to give you a basic training story. 3 weeks into basic training, we had in the Air Force what was called TIs. They were training instructors. I had two of them. One of them was a big, lanky, tall guy from Texas. And I swear he started a sentence and it didn't end until sundown. I mean, he just talked slow. But yet, when he wanted to yell and scream at you, and he wanted to get in your face, he did a decent job at that. Then I had a younger guy. He was a black man. He was wiry and he was short. And boy, could he talk. Boy, could he motivate you. Boy, did you think that when he opened up his mouth, you were about to die. He was just that way. He was just gung-ho, gung-ho, gung-ho. 3 weeks into basic training, we had what was called fire watch. Everyone, we had a barracks, and we had an upper floor and down floor. And we probably had 50, 60 guys total in the barracks. Each and every one of us, every so often, would have to pull fire guard. We would do that, and we'd get, somebody would wake us up. We could have it from 3 to 7 o'clock, or 3 to 6 o'clock, or whatever the hours, I don't remember exactly, but it was our turn. I remember the one time when I had fire watch. It was in the middle of the night, of course, just my luck. But somebody woke me up, I got up, got dressed, went to the front door where you were supposed to be posted and stay. You were there as an early warning system in case of fire or anything else, someone trying to skirt out or someone trying to get into the barracks. You had a list posted on a bulletin board. It was called the authorized list. No one could get in without being on that list. So lucky me, of course, after being instructed by the one TI, don't you let anybody in here. If you let anybody in here, I'm going to skin your hide, basically, is what he told me. And he told all of us as far as the instructions go. So it got into about an hour and a half, 2 hours of my watch, and a man comes approaching the door. Now, this man was a captain, but I thought he might have been a joint chief of staff as far as I knew. I really didn't know. All I knew is that he looked like a bear. He was ugly, and he was mean. And I know that when he beat on that door wanting to get in, he almost knocked it down. I can also tell you that my knees were knocking. And I say, "Sir, who are you? You don't worry about who I am." And he said, "You just let me in. I'm authorized to come in here, sir. I need to know who you are so I can check on this list." Of course, I'm going through the papers going like this and trying to, he gives me a name after a long time. And I check and I say, "Sir, you're not on that list." And again, he just rants and he raves because he wants in. He just wants in. But I refuse to let him in. You know, if I could have run and hid, I would have run and hid that particular night because I was scared to death. Lo and behold, what I didn't tell you about the one black TI is he had two front teeth made out of gold. And if the light hit it just right, it would shine. On the second floor of the barracks, when I turned around, there he was, smiling from ear to ear, and those teeth just shining away. It was a test. I was the watchman that particular night, and I was the one that was tested as far as not letting someone in that was not authorized on that list. I want to talk to you about the watchman. There are different types of watchmen mentioned in the Bible. Of course, soldiers in the Bible generally act as watchmen. Pilate assigned soldiers to be watchmen over the stone sealing of Jesus when they sealed Jesus' tomb. Matthew 27, verses 65 through 66 said, Pilate said unto them, "You have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can." So they went and they made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Do you know citizens in the Bible have sometimes acted as a watchman? With the rumor of an enemy approaching, while the city of Jerusalem's walls and gates were being restored, Nehemiah assigned citizens to be watchmen where they lived. There was a threat that the enemy was going to approach, and that they were going to go through those gates and those walls that were only halfway built. And people in their homes, they would get up at certain times. They would rotate as far as their watch, but they would stand guard. They were considered watchmen. Nehemiah 7:3 says, "And I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be open until the sun be hot, and while they stand by. Let them shut the doors and bar them. and appoint watches of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone in his watch, and everyone to be over against his house. Watchmen were stationed at different locations. Some watchmen were stationed in a watchtower. Isaiah 27:5 says, "Prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, arise, you princesses, and anoint the shield." Some watchmen would be stationed on the walls of the city. Isaiah 62:6 says, "I have set watchmen upon the walls." O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent. It was an important job to be a watchman. It was to watch over. It was to warn the people. They could see if you were in a watchtower upon one of those walls and they saw somebody coming, they had warning and they could alert the guard and others of approaching enemy or approaching people that we had not identified yet. It was a very important job. People inside were counting on the watchman to watch over and to guide and to help them stay secure. When I was stationed in the military in Germany in the mid-70s, one of the jobs, I worked at a security police department. One of the jobs that we did from time to time is we had a munitions site that was 25 miles away from the base. We would go in a three-man team. We would drive those 25 miles to that munitions dump. We would leave the three men that were there overnight, and we would stay there. And our job was to protect that munition site. Somebody always had, it was several miles, like 5 miles long. Some of us would walk it. Some of us would drive our vehicles around it. It was our job. We were an early warning system, more or less. We were the watchmen for that particular munitions dump. Listen, we lived in luxury when you didn't walk around. Some of these munitions were important munitions, and so we had to stay on guard. And there were people from time to time that would try to breach those walls. They would make sure that we were on guard, that a warning was sent out. We were the watchmen. We would call ahead, and 25 miles away, you can imagine 15 or 20 minutes as far as a response time was a long time to wait for help, being a team of three men in a munitions dump that was probably 5 miles long as far as round and circle goes. But we were watchmen. There's all kinds. It was an important job. In the Bible times, Ezekiel was a watchman. God gave him the job to watch over the people of Israel, to warn them, to tell them of approaching danger, to tell the people what was going on that was right or wrong, to try to convince them that they needed, that the enemy was approaching and they needed to do things differently. God would say, tell Ezekiel what he needed to tell the people, and he would tell them. It wasn't easy job. It wasn't necessarily a fun job, but it was something that had to be done. I believe in a lot of ways, pastors, teachers, people that work in this church, Christian teachers, Sunday school teachers, super church workers, they're all watchmen. They're all watching over something. They're watching. God has given them. I believe as far as watchmen goes, we have a very important job, and we should not take it lightly. As far as whatever it is, listen, you hold a life in your hand. A young person downstairs or across the road in the Becca building, as far as teaching them the Word of God. God wants them warned. God wants them saved. Sometimes, have you ever felt like not studying, not preparing, not praying, being neglect in your job as far as a watchman for the Lord Jesus Christ and telling and warning those kids? We bring kids in. Listen, they get a message before they even get into church. They get messages. They get scriptures. They get songs. They get warnings. They're told it's an important job to be a watchman. And we need to take that job responsibly. Believe it or not, whether we like it or not, people are always watching the watchman. And it's not easy being a watchman in any type of job. If you've ever worked on shift work, especially if you work the midnight shift, you know it's not always easy. It's not always easy staying up all night. And it's not always easy trying to sleep during the day. But when you get on that job, when you get into that watchtower, when you get on that wall, when it's your turn to teach, when it's your turn to preach, when it's your turn to proclaim the Word of God, when it's your turn to be a witness and testimony, you need to be ready. Always ready. It depends on it. The life of this church depends on it. The life of our Lord Jesus Christ and souls lie in the balance. It depends on it. We need to be. We don't always feel like doing it. We don't always feel prepared, but we need to be prepared. From the top to the bottom, if one of us does not fulfill our duty and our job, it means someone else has to pick us up. We need to do our job and our responsibility as far as watchmen goes. We need not to take our duty lightly. It's an important job. You know, we at this church have many watchmen, but do you know something? We need many more. We need many more. The job is grand and great, but we need, some people seem to think, well, I don't need that responsibility, whether you like it or not. You have that responsibility. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I got news for you. You can't get away from it. It's your responsibility to be a watchman, to be prepared, to be ready, to make sure that you get your sleep, to make sure that if you see an enemy coming, that you warn all the people. Every time a soul is saved, we've just warned somebody from impending peril as far as an everlasting life in a hell, in a lake of fire, in a fire that burns forever. Listen, we need to pick each other up, but we all need to be watchmen. You know, we have people around here that run around like a chicken with their head cut off because they've got a lot of responsibilities. They have a lot of duties. We need some more watchmen. We need some more people to step up to the plate. This is a great and grand church, I'll grant you that. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. But I believe with all my heart it can be much better. I believe with all my heart we're in a period of time and our Lord Jesus Christ, we're in a period of time as far as the church age goes, the Laodicean age, where people are just willing to be lukewarm. That's fine with me, people say, just to be lukewarm. We should want more than that. More than anything, as the day approaches and we can see it, we need more watchmen. We need more helpers. We need more people to stand, to come to the plate, to step up. We need more watchmen. Ezekiel didn't necessarily like his job. Ezekiel probably would have liked to say kind and pleasing things. But God had told him, warn my people. And can I tell you something? Can I warn you a little bit? If we don't stay about the master's business, we're going to erode away too. This may say Bethel Baptist Church, but that doesn't mean that it can't happen to us. We need to have watchmen that pull together. We got people that are doing 20 and 30 jobs. I know that's an exaggeration. But we got people doing a lot of jobs. And we got some people who think, well, I've got that one job and that's enough for me. Is it? Really? When souls stand in the balance. You know, in all honesty, the lifeline of this church is soul winning. And it's a sad state of affairs because I believe it shows our heart as far as Bethel Baptist Church goes. To have 4, 5 only people show up to go out. They do a great and grand job, those 4 or 5. But we need more watchmen that are willing to go out and warn the people. We need more people to do that. Well, I've got this to do, and you can spend the rest of your life making excuses. But priority is priority. And God has always been priority. At least He should be. You make your excuses. You tell man your excuse. But I dare you to tell God that silly, wicked excuse for not going out and not being a witness and not being a testimony. There are things that go on here that one person has to rush around to do because we don't have enough watchmen. You make all kinds of excuses. We all do it. I used to do it a long time ago, but I've swore to the Lord, I don't want to make an excuse anymore. You know, I had somebody say to me not too long ago, here from this church, well, you're retired. You can do all that stuff. Yeah, okay. And I try to help as much as I can. But we need more watchmen. You make your excuses all you want. But I'm telling you, there are people, we're neglecting our duty. We're neglecting our job. We get, and praise the Lord for four people that were saved today. But I can guarantee you this, if we had more people going out, more people witnessing, more people telling other people about Jesus Christ, we'd have more than four. We'd have more than four saved. People would be saved, and that baptismal water would be stirred about every week, if not every. You know what it says? We're not being very good watchmen. We're not being very good watchmen. Well, I do this and I do that. And if that's what God's called you to do, and if that's all you can handle, and that's all you believe God wants you to do, praise the Lord, amen. But you know what? There are people in this room that don't go so winning. I have no excuse. There is no reason for not going out. You go ahead and take that up with the Lord. But there's no reason. You can do everything else on Saturday, Friday, Thursday, but you can't make room for Him. But yet, you sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Give me a break. We're not being very good watchmen. We got Sunday school teachers that need help. We got Sunday school teachers that need help. And yet, where are the watchmen? Where are the watchmen? We have people upstairs that stay upstairs that could be Sunday school teachers that could tell and teach children. Where are children's watchmen? Where are our children's watchmen? We need watchmen. It's not an easy thing to be a watchman. But I'll tell you this. If you're sitting here today beyond the shadow of a doubt, if you're not serving the Lord, you're not doing what God wants you to do. You're not in God's will. You're not. You make all the excuses that you want. But you just don't. You don't need to tell me. You don't need to give me an excuse. Give the Lord the excuse and see what He says. Check it out with the Bible. See if that's an excuse that He'll accept. You know, Brother Bob Gray's coming. He's coming Sunday and Monday. I believe he'll have all kinds of stories about soul winning and messages on soul winning. Will that get your engine started? Will that get you started? Or after he leaves, well, that was a good man. He preached good messages. Well, that starts you to realize that we need watchmen. We need watchmen. More watchmen to serve for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have watchmen to patrol our cities. While others sleep, they were out and about. We have watchmen today. They're called police officers. Listen, you don't think the devil's out every minute of every second of every day? And yet, we can't have watchmen awake, giving the alarm 24 hours, 24/7. You know, we have people in our church that need comforting. We have people in our church that need to know that they're loved. You can't do that. You can't do that. Somebody has to pull your arm. Somebody has to beg you to go out and be a witness and a testimony to those people. What a shame. What a sad commentary. You know, and I'm talking to Bethel. I know what the churches around us are all about, but I'm talking about Bethel. I don't like this message, but it needs to be said. We got people that need, I had people tell me a couple weeks ago that they have never been visited by the church before, and they've been coming to our church for a long time. That is a sad commentary on the job that we're doing. That's a shame. We need more watchmen. Listen, we had 5-6 people go out, and they did a tremendous job. I mean, some of them went house to house. Some made visits. Some made personal visits. We did a tremendous job, just a few of us that went out. But you know, there's still people out there that need a watchman. Someone that's going to encourage them. Someone that's going to help them. Someone that's going to show compassion for them. Brother Dave, am I lying when I say when we go on hospital visits that people are so happy that we're there? They're happy. I don't want to be the only one that experiences that joy. You can too. You don't have to have all the words down. You don't have to know everything to say. They just want to be comforted. They want someone to know that somebody cares for them. You can't do that. You have a mom or a dad that you comfort? You have a mom and dad that you try to encourage? You have friends that you try to encourage and try to help and give advice to? You can do it to them, but you can't do it to a brother and sister in Christ. We need more watchmen. We need more watchmen. Listen, and this is no rub on you, Pastor or Brother Dave, because I know what you do, and I appreciate what you do. But you know what? We got a house that needs painting. We need a house. We have a house. The entranceway, you ever look on top of the roof there and see how it's all peeling and some of the paint on the poles? We've got a Becca building that needs painted. We've got all kinds of things that need to be done. But you know the only reason it's not being done is because we don't have enough watchmen. This is God's house. There's a lot of things we could be doing that we need. Well, you know, I go to work and I do this and I do that and I don't. Go ahead. You know, go ahead. But let me tell you something. As a retired man, I'll pit my schedule up against yours any day. I'll pit my schedule against yours any day, except for Brother Dave's and Rosie's. But we need more watchmen. We really do. We're neglecting things. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no doubts in my mind that this church could grow. There's no doubt in my mind that these pews could be filled. Just not on Sunday mornings, but Sunday nights and Wednesday nights as well. There's no doubt in my mind that we could go over and be in a new building. The problem is we don't have enough watchmen. And God knows it. God sees it. And I believe in a lot of ways God doesn't bless because of it. We need more watchmen. You know, I love each and every one of you. Honestly, I do. But when I tell you we need more watchmen, we do. we do. And for some of us, we are without excuse. And the reason our pews are not filled is because we don't have enough watchmen. People don't think we care enough. When somebody tells you, I've been coming to that church for 6 months and nobody's visited me, that's a sad commentary. You think God's going to bless that? When we have six people to go soul winning, when we have one Sunday school teacher, when we have Sunday school teachers that need help and we don't have help for them, that's a sad commentary. How will God allow us to grow if we can't fill the positions that we have? How will he let us, if we don't have people enough to go out and visit our folks, how will he give us more? How will he give us more money if we don't go out after people as far as their tithes? I mean, I know it's just not a money issue, but you know when you bring in people, you strengthen the church, you bring in more potential workers, you bring in more money. We're not bringing in more people, folks. I know we live in a Laodicea age. I know that there are a lot of people. I know that Satan's got people on the run. But I believe with all my heart that we can do a job here. The only thing is we need more watchmen. We need more people that are willing to step up to the plate. The buses. Brother Billy, do you need more bus workers? Could you use more help at Super Church? Could you use more Sunday school teachers? Of course. Where are the watchmen? Where are the watchmen? What, 85, 90 kids in Super Church? Do you have enough help to manage them? We need more watchmen. The simple fact of the matter is, there's a reason. You know, Brother Dave and the pastor, they can preach their heart out, and they do. But we need more watchmen that are willing to go out to warn the people. We're neglecting our job. We're neglecting our duties. You know, if you're found neglecting your duty, a watchman could be punished by death. Ezekiel 33:6 says this, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if their sword come and take any people from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. If we're neglecting our duties here as a church, do you imagine how many people out there are not being won because of our negligence? How many people are not winning because of our negligence? Because we're not being good watchmen? We need watchmen. We need more and more watchmen. As a church, we are to be faithful watchmen. As individual Christians, we are to be watchmen. Perhaps you think that a watchman's position is only for a select few. But the fact is that the New Testament is full of verses telling us to live godly, obedient lives. To do this, we must be watchful. We must be sober and alert to the enemy's devices. Peter tells us to be watchful. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may destroy. The entire letter of Jude is a watchman's warning. Paul Revere was a Minuteman during the Revolutionary War. He's best known for getting the warning out. In the city streets, he cried out to that the British were coming. The British are coming. Jude is a warning about false teachers. You know, we need people that are willing to go. We need people that are willing. We need to have more people that we send. We need to have more people that are willing to be watchmen. I believe that our church should always be sending out people. whether they're missionaries or preachers. I believe that's something. And if we're in the right heart, with the right attitude, doing the right thing, and God is blessing, that will help. That will happen. But Jude is a watchman's book. Jude is about warning people of false teachers and preachers. Jude cries out to the church people like you and I, to arms, to arms. And that's exactly because Satan is coming. The end is near. To arms, to arms. Listen, if we had a battle to fight, who would come? Who would take up their arms and fight? We're in a battle. Who will take up their arms to fight? We need more watchmen. We must be ever alert as a church to the devil's tactics. We must not allow him to get a foothold in our church. If we stop preaching the word of God, someone in this church must give out a warning. If we stop caring about souls of lost men, someone in this church must give a warning. If we see a brother or sister in this church attacked by the devil, someone in this church must give a warning. If we see a brother or sister falling under the burden of life, someone in this church must cry out a warning. I know that we live in a world that says, don't get involved. Don't get involved. Well, we can't do that as watchmen. I don't mean staying in people's business, being a busybody, but we need to show people that we care. We need to be a watchman. We see a brother or sister in Christ down. We need to help them, and we need to be there to pick them up, to give them an encouraging word. And when that happens, this church will grow. When we warn people and tell people about Jesus Christ, this church will grow. When we, as teachers, are dedicated to ensuring that God's word gets out, kids will come and this church will grow. But we need the watchmen. We need the watchmen. Your children must be told about Jesus Christ. You are their watchman. In the end, your children may not heed your warnings when they get older, but you still have the responsibility to give them God's warning. There are people here tonight that are not here because it's Mother's Day. Last time I looked, the Lord's Day trumps Mother's Day. People need to be in church. People need to be in church. But see, that shows our weakness. For good or bad, we have teachers that are not in church tonight, and that's a sad commentary. People that teach our children are not in church. That's sad. Do we really love him? As Jesus asked Peter, Peter, do you really love me? Do we really love me? Do we really love him? Or do we just act like it? We need watchmen that are serious about their duties and about their jobs. Softball, baseball, ice cream parlors, whatever it is takes the place of attending church and not being very good faithful watchmen. And because of that, God is going to limit as far as our success goes. That's the what I believe. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I don't think so. How are you? Are you God's watchman? Or do you just come up with excuses after excuses? Are you just satisfied allowing a few people to do everything? Aren't you willing to step up and take your turn? Aren't you willing to do your part for the Lord? We need watchmen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, again, we thank you so much for all that you do. We thank you for your love. Father, we do need watchmen. I'm sure that when you gave Ezekiel the job of being a watchman and the things that he had to do, things he had to say, the warnings that he had to give, I'm sure they were not very pleasant. I'm sure they're not very easy. But Father, even then, the people ignored what the watchman had to say. There is no doubt in my mind that as we leave church tonight and we go our separate ways, a lot of us will forget this message. Shame on us, Father. We need to be watchmen. This church needs dedicated and devoted watchmen. People are willing to give all, who love you and care for you and want to see your work grow. Father, I just pray. I pray that you touch the hearts. I'm not after any praises. I'm not after any comments, Father, because I want you glorified. I want people to understand that we need to be watchmen. We need to be on duty 24/7. And we need more watchmen to take up the slack. Father, during this invitation time, work as you see fit. Work in the hearts. Father, I pray if there's anyone in here that can honestly, as they search their hearts, say, I've not been a very good watchman. I pray, Father, that they would get it right with you. I pray, Father, as a church, we would come together. I pray as a church, we would work together. I pray, Father, as a church, we would help one another. We would have compassion for one another. That we would strengthen one another. Father, help us come together as a church for your honor and for your glory. I ask and pray for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody stand, Pastor.
What page on, John? 342, if you'd like to come for any reason, you come right now, 342.